2019, we are looking towards 2019. I really, really want to make 2019 count. Can you put your hands up, please, if at 2019, at the end of 2019, you will not be another year older? Well done, Sarah. Oh, very nice. Ooh, look at you, Miss Smarty Pants. But that was quite good, actually. But generally, apart from Sarah Holt, we will... Oh, and Precious, it was your birthday. But most, okay, let's just say, usually, we will be another year older. And as the older I get, the more I realise, hang about, you know, my life is like, is going. You know, I've got more behind me than I have in front of me. And all those sorts of things, you do those little equations, and you think, oh, my life is going. I don't have long left. And I want to make sure that, I don't want to be too morbid about it, okay? But I want to make sure 2019 counts. Amen. I want to make sure that 2019 counts. And this is what Paul wrote. Just going to read one verse from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, and it says this: to this end we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve in you for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever met people who are just really focused and have actually achieved quite a lot in their lives? You know, occasionally you do meet people and they are just laser sharp on what they're trying to do. And what I'd really like us to do is just this morning talk about how can we become sharper in what God has called us to do. I don't know what God has called you to do in 2019, but I do know this. He has called you to do something. Amen. And I would really like today to help the process of you understanding exactly what that is and to be resolved that 2019 you will focus yourself on what God has called you to do. Yesterday, rightly or wrongly, Cameron and I were playing with a little laser pen that I have. And we went upstairs, and this laser, it's the little pointer that you use for things like this, you know, and I don't know, we were just playing it. And then we thought, I wonder how far it will go into the garden. And you know what we did next.
No.
And then you think, oh, no, we'll go into the end of the garden. Yeah, it can still see it there. Oh, I wonder if it'll go into the neighbour's wall. Yeah, it will. And then, okay, I hope this man doesn't come on our alpha course, but there was a man a few doors down doing the washing up. And then he would be doing the washing up, he'd be suddenly thinking... And I'm, Lord, I am sorry for doing this, okay. But there was this little red dot following his washing. And then, okay... So... Cam's not well, so I was trying to entertain. He's got tonsillitis. But then he was doing his washing up at his back window, and then he like looked up, and Cameron and I both went, "What the damn?" And I felt like I was 12, okay? But it was quite funny. But the point of it is that laser. And then we were thinking, how far could we get the laser to show? And you can actually show, you have to get binoculars, and then you can get a long way. But the reality is that laser is incredibly focused. And all that laser is a little bit of light focused in. And then you can have lasers that can cut steel. You can have lasers that can do anything. So there is all I'm saying is that there's incredible power in focusing on something. And I just wonder what would happen if everyone in the room here knew what God had called us to do for 2019, and we were pretty ruthless in focusing on it and achieving it. Imagine the impact that would have in our lives, in our world. It would be significant.
One of the great stories of focus that you find is in Genesis chapter 24. And it's the amazing story of, you know, it may not be overly politically correct, but it's the amazing story of Abraham finding a wife for his son Isaac and sending his servant Eliezer off to go and find a wife. And one of the reasons that that story is in the Bible is it helps us to learn how to be focused. And I just want to go and look through there. And to be honest, there's a guy called Rick Warren who is very, very good on all of these sorts of things. And actually, Rick Warren has given us 10 ways that we can learn about being focused. And I've adapted that for us because I think I would like us to learn what it is for 2019 to be focused on doing what God has called us to do and not do what he hasn't called us to do. Because there are so many things that you could do. So many. And they have that whole thing of intentional neglect of good things. There are some really good things that you could do in 2019. And is God saying to you to do those things? Or is he calling you to be focused on one thing? So the story of Abraham. The story of Abraham goes like this. That God had promised to Abraham he'd be a great nation. That he would have many descendants as many as the grains of sand on the seashore. The only problem was it wasn't going particularly well. He managed to have a son, Isaac. But then his son, I don't know what his son Isaac was, he was probably more into restoring motorbikes or something like that. I don't really know what he was doing, but he wasn't finding himself a wife. And so Abraham was thinking, hang about, if we're going to have as many descendants, we need our son here to find a wife and to start having children. And yet he wasn't doing it. And so what he did is he got his servant Eliezer over. And he said, Eliezer, look, I'm going to give you a special commission. I want you to go back to the people where we came from, and I want you to find a wife for my son, Isaac. And it's the story. 10 ways that we can focus on what God has called us to do. It's a story when Eliezer knew exactly what he had to do, and he achieved it. He was focused on this particular thing. So we've got to work through this like really quickly. Are we ready for it?
Amen.
10 ways to be focused 2019. And what I'll do is I will send these notes out. So when we send an email update out this week, I'll include the notes with a little bit of a almost like a worksheet for you to go through so that you can work through yourself. What is the thing that you are called to do for 2019? Point number one, you have to know where you are right now. It says there in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in many things. Blessed him in many things except a grandson or a grandchild. He didn't have that, and he needed his son to get married and have children. And you need to just, if you want to work out what God has called you to do for 2019, you have to work out where are you right now? Where are you spiritually? Where are you in your relationships? Where are you in your work? What has God spoken to you about? Do you know what God has spoken to you about? Where are your personal finances? Where are you? Like, what's your emotional resilience like? I know that I finished the end of 2018, rather, with emotionally, they've done loads of things and been really busy, and I probably was at I didn't have much more capacity. And you have to know that. So what I've done now, it's actually for the first 2 weeks, starting from tomorrow, I'm going to have 1 week of a reading week, and then I'm going to take a week's annual leave. I have to do that. You just have to know where you're at to be able to think, no, this is what God's called me to do, because I am not going to end 2019 without being focused on what God's called me to do. I'm not going to drift. And we do not want to drift this year. Where are you at? Will 2019 be any different for you? 2019 will be exactly the same as 2018 unless you make some clear decisions now in where you're at and what God's called you to do and to be. And I think, to be honest, that is why New Year is quite... I like New Year. I'm not so sure about all the sort of like the resolutions that you... that everyone sort of like gets and then sort of like breaks, you know, straight away. But the thing is, New Year is good because it is an opportunity to reset, isn't it? And it is a moment we think, okay, this is a good moment. We can just reset things for ourselves a little bit. If you feel you're a little bit too old to start having some new, not resolutions, but some goals for 2019, just need to let you know that Abraham was how old? 115. So I'm not sure if there's anyone here who's older than 115, but if you are older than 115, that's fine. You know, just chill out, have a nice time. If you're younger than 115, let's be focused.
Amen.
2019, we're going to be laser sharp on what God has called us to do. The second point is this. It's really good to be specific in saying what your goal is. Be specific. Abraham said to his son, his servant Eleazar, go to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife for my son Isaac. He said, he was very specific in what he said to his, I want you to go out back to my old people there, in old Iraq. I want you to go back there and find somebody from my culture. And by the way, she has to be a real stunner as well. So he says, very, very beautiful word. So this is what you have to go. It's a very specific thing to do. And sometimes I prefer goals that are much more vague. Do you know why? Because it's a lot easier to fudge it. It's so much easier just to fudge it. And if you want to say, you could say things like, well, 2019, I really want to be a better parent. Well, yeah, anything will do that. I mean, the kids will, you know, judge whether I'm on that or not, but it's not good enough that you can't just say that. That's too vague. You can't even say, well, I want to spend more time with my husband or my wife. No, that's not good enough. How about something like this? Every Tuesday, I will take one of my children out to McDonald's without a phone. Something like that. Or I will do this with my husband or my wife. Or I'll do this. But specific goals. And the other reason we don't like to be specific is this. If we go up and say something publicly, sometimes I'm really fearful that I just won't do it. I'm fearful of failure. And it robs me of a lot of stuff. Anything? No, come on. God, please help me to be quite specific in what you're calling me to do. Even Eleazar had that worry. He said, well, what happens in the story? I'd encourage you. It's chapter 24 of Genesis. It's quite a long chapter. That's why I'm not reading the whole thing. But I'd encourage you to go back and read it. But Eleazar said to Abraham, well, what happens, Abraham, if I find this real stunner, but she just won't come back with me? And all this time he said, well, what if something goes wrong? No, actually, Abraham said, no, I want you to find it, and God will be with you. And I think there's a principle of this. Work out what God is saying to you first. Work out the how later.
Amen.
If you always had to know the how, you wouldn't do anything. You wouldn't. Now, God's called you to do something. Say, that's what I'm committed to do. The how will come later. The third thing that links in with this is this. Know God's promise over your life. The whole reason that Abraham sent Eleazar off to find a wife for Isaac was this. He said this, God has spoken to me and promised me this land. Therefore, that was the reason he did it, because he said God had spoken to him. The difference between Christians setting a goal and just sort of like trying to be nice and have a goal for your life is this, that one of them is rooted on the promises of God, and one of them is rooted just in your wishes or your desires. And actually, if you can find the promises of God for your life, and I think that I read there are something like over 7,000 promises in the Bible that you can take for your life. 7,000 promises in the Bible. Now, the trick is to think, okay, this is what God has said, and this is what he has promised to me. Therefore, this is what I'm going to go and do. For us, as a church, and for me, I felt that the whole promise of Jeremiah 29, when God says this, seek the welfare of the city, for in its welfare you'll find your welfare. That was a promise. I thought God said to us as a church, and that's what it's in the, if you go out to the cabin out there, it's written on the wall, that if we seek the welfare of the city, if we try and make Collindale a better place to be and everywhere around, if we try and make it a better place to be, then actually we will be a better church. The more we give away, the more God will bless us. And I think there are promises that God will have spoken over your life. What is God speaking to you? There are prophetic promises, I think, God has spoken over us, over our church. And the other thing is, if you don't know some of the promises in the Bible, that is a really good reason to get into your Bible and to start reading. And whenever you see a promise that God is saying, if you do this, I will do this, underline it or mark it in your Bible and say, now that's a promise. God is calling us to do things that are specifically for you, and there are promises that God has for you. I think God promised us some of those people that are written on the floor over there, that they would be saved. Is that just a pipe dream Or is it actually going to become reality? No, I believe that the names on the floor that are written there, that will be there as long as this building is here probably, or the floor's taken up, and we redo them, those names that we wrote on the floor, that some of those people will come to a saving faith in Jesus. I feel God's promised them to us. Number four, work out what you benefit from being focused. This is what it says in verse 17. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. The benefit for Eleazar of finding a wife for Isaac was this. Firstly, they could potentially have a son. Secondly, Abraham would be pleased with his servant, and he'd probably get some benefit from that. And thirdly, God's purposes were being fulfilled. I think we have to understand, what are the benefits of pursuing what God has called us to do? I think probably 50%, I'm not going to say the people in this room, but 50% of the people, let's just say generally out there, want to lose weight. If you're anything like me, over Christmas, I just ate quite a lot. Now, the thing is, I can focus, if I want to lose weight, I can focus on what I sort of like lack, which quite frankly is an addiction to sugar. I think there's a struggle there. But I can focus on the things that I can lack, or I can focus on what are the benefits to me of losing weight. One, I might live longer. Two, maybe I have to carry on playing rugby for a longer time. Three, I can take my dogs, continue taking my dogs out. There are all sorts of, and actually if you can focus on what is the benefit of what God's promises are for you, I think we will keep going longer. I feel that God has promised to us something about being a church, of a group of five churches working together to plant, grow, and encourage other churches in North London. Now, we could just say that that's what we're going to try and do, or we could say, no, these are the benefits of it. These are the benefits. If we do that well, many people will be saved, cities will be transformed, and there'll be many leaders that will just keep going. Do you know there are hundreds of leaders around? This isn't poor me by any chance, okay? I'm not saying that. But there are just, you know, there are so many leaders of churches around who they, if you gave them half a chance, they would just say, that's it, I'm off. Because they just feel sort of like, I don't know, they just feel fed up, or they just feel they keep going at it, and it's really, really difficult. And I thank God every single day that I am involved in this church. You just need to know that. And I'm not lying. If my kids, no, Lauren's there, but Maddie would be able to say, Dad, I know if you're lying, because if you're lying, your nostrils flare. Okay, so so I'd be able to say that. Watch my nostrils. I thank God every day that I'm involved in this church. No, I do. I love it. I think, oh, what an extraordinary privilege to be involved with everybody here, to be building something as a family, to be building like it is. But it's not always the case in some other churches. There are some churches that would, leaders that would walk away if they had a chance. Because sometimes it's quite difficult to. And we have to think, if we're going to be involved in building churches, a group of churches that plant, grow, and encourage other churches, we'll see leaders that will keep going. They will keep pressing in to the promises of God. I'm going to move on quickly. Number five, soak your goal in prayer. This is what it says in verse 12. And he prayed, Eleazar prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. Can I just ask you to put your hands up in a minute? Do you have any inkling of what God is calling you to be focused on for 2019. If you do have an idea, just listen, it's not a trick question. I'm not going to ask people to shout out what it is. I just want to know, if you have some idea of what God has called you to focus on for 2019, put your hand up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Heavenly Father, I want to pray that every single one of us with our hands up, Lord, that we would press into you, that we would soak these things that you've called us to do in prayer, that we would be focused on these things for 2019, that we would lay other things like down to carry what you have called us to do. Just put your hands down. And Lord Jesus, I want to pray, Lord, for those of us who, at that snapshot of a moment, that we were not able to say, this is what I know that you've called me to focus on. But I do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and stir us, that you would come and show something of your heart for us, that we would have a greater clarity. We do not want to drift, Lord. We do not want to get to the end of this year not being focused on what you called us to be and to do. I want to pray, Lord, just in the next few minutes, that you would begin stirring us, giving us imaginative faith. What is the one thing that you want us to focus on? Just to carry on, number five, soak our goal in prayer. When we pray about something for some time, it really shifts us. And it means that we're not depending on what we want, but it's dependent on what God has got for us. And when we pray about something, it reveals a dependence on God. Eleazar didn't pray just at the beginning, but he prayed all the way through his adventure of finding this woman. Number six, work out the problems. Whatever it is that you want to achieve, work out what is preventing you from achieving them. And I tell you, for Eleazar, there were a few things. Firstly, he had to find the right girl. Then, okay, he had to go to this girl and speak to her parents and say, will you let your daughter go and marry some man that she doesn't know and has never met? Right. Then he has to speak to the girl and then say, would you be happy to come with me, a complete stranger, and come and marry a man that you've never met? I think that's quite a tall task. There were all sorts of problems in the way for Eleazar to manage to do this thing. And I think there are all sorts of barriers for us to achieve what God has called us to do. There may be things like training, there may be financial barriers, there may be relational barriers. But I think sometimes one of the biggest barriers are, what are the emotional barriers that you and I struggle with to achieve what God has called us to do? And I think sometimes it's what has been spoken over your life in the past that means you do not want to step out in faith again. When you tried something and somebody said, who do you think you are to do that? Speaking to somebody yesterday in another church, completely different context, she spent hours doing some interior design work for a church. Again, it's in another part of London. She'd given her time freely doing this stuff. She's a qualified interior designer. She designs the interiors of ships and boats and cruise liners and all that stuff. She'd given all this time. Then she went to church, and the first thing that somebody said to her was, kicking this like bin. She said, Why can't you just get bins that fit in here properly instead of this rubbish? And do you know what? It's a really small little comment. But that woman had just poured her life into something for about 6 months, and that was the feedback she got. And do you know what? I think that woman, who's a dear friend of ours, is probably slightly less likely to offer again to pour her time and effort in. And you know, sometimes when stuff has been spoken over us, you think, oh, I don't really want to go through that again. But do you know, I think God wants to come to you and again says, no, I want to give you power now, again, to pick up what I've spoken over you. One step at a time in the power of God. We're moving on. Number seven, whatever it is that God has called you to do, whether it's in business, whether it's finding a husband or a wife, whether it's getting some training, whatever it is, have a plan. And this is what it says in verse 10. And then the servant Eleazar took 10 of his master's camels. Abraham was quite rich, by the way, and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts. This has got some quite interesting things about how you know that people love you. Taking all sorts of choice gifts for the master, he arose and went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and who shall say, drink, and I'll water your camels, let her be the one you've appointed your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. What was Eleazar's plan? To find this woman, Firstly, hang out where the women are. Pretty obvious, isn't it?
He just said, look, all I know is this time of day, all the women, probably the young women, some of the women that probably aren't married, they'll be hanging out here getting water. Where am I going to be?
Probably in there. Just going to be there.
And then he said, I'm going to look for a nice, good-looking girl, and then I'm going to find something about her character. Do you know camels? When he said he took 10 camels with him, and then what he wanted to do was ask some girl for a drink, and then say, the woman who said, I'll now water your camels as well, she would be the one. You know, camels can drink.
Yeah.
They can drink a lot of water. I don't know how long it's going to take, but 10 camels, that's quite a lot of watering. Okay, doing it. So she's got to be a looker, but she's got to be quite strong as well. And she's got to have that character of giving herself to somebody. And then, best of all, he was going to give her lots of nice presents. He said, I'm going to put a ring in your nose. Anyone that's ever had a nose piercing, not looking at anyone in particular, the Bible says it's good. The Bible says it's okay, okay? And then started putting all this gold. Okay, so she was a girl that she liked jewelry, okay? So then giving all this jewelry, but he had a plan. He wasn't just going to go and say, look, would you come and marry my master's son? No, but he said he gave her stuff and he did tests of character. He had a plan for it. I think, what are your plans? For what? If you've got something that you know God has called you to, you just say, what are your plans? If your plans are to find this year, to find a husband or a wife, what are your plans to do that? Because they don't often just pop out at you. They don't just walk out in front of you in the road and say, oh, this is it. I'm going to be the person. You have to go and sort of have a look and find out. Have a plan.
I'm going as quick as I can. Number 8, did you know that nothing of any importance has ever been achieved without discipline? Eleazar said this, he had to learn to discipline his appetites, he had to learn to discipline what he said, and he had to discipline how he used his time. In verse 33 it says this, then food was set before Eleazar to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have what I said I need. And then he said, speak on. He said, I'm not going to eat until I've achieved what God has called me to do. He just needed to learn to be disciplined in what he ate and his appetites. Verse 49, he learned to discipline his words. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and the faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I might turn to the right or to the left. He just had to talk to him and he had to say, look, please, can we talk this thing through? Because if you're not going to, like, if this woman is not going to come and marry my master's son, you just need to let me know. He needed to learn how to talk to people in a correct way. And then in his time, discipline his time. But he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I might go to my master. He was just saying, look, I need to get on with this thing. I can't waste an awful lot of time doing lots of other things. And if you know what God has called you to do, and if you don't know, I'm praying, I'll be praying this week that you will know exactly what God has called you to do. You will need to be disciplined in how you do it, how you go about it. Discipline what you do and what you don't do. While you are working on your goals, God is working on you. Number 9, we're moving quickly. You will need to depend on other people. Did you know that you will never achieve anything truly great on your own? Success is rarely a one-man band. And to be honest, if you can achieve what you think God has said to you on your own, I would suggest 2 things. 1, your goal isn't big enough. And 2, I'd question whether it's from God. Because God always puts us in families. He always puts us in church. He always puts us in fellowship with other people. Why? Because God is relational. Within the Trinity, before the beginning of time, and he's an including God. He wants to include us. And it's only actually when we're working with other people that we learn how to be kind and sensitive, and we learn how to be humble, and we know how to speak gently but graciously and truthfully. It's all those things. We need to learn those things with other people around us. And sometimes secretly, I wish I could do my relationship with God on my own. It'd be a lot easier. I really, really wish that sometimes God would bless me directly, you know, just him and me. I wish that God would provide for me directly, you know, just like him and me. It would be a little bit easier. I wish that sometimes God didn't, but God doesn't do that. He chooses to provide for one another through one another. Actually, many of my prayers have been answered by you. And this year, you will be the answer to many people's prayers. Did you know that? Yesterday, these people that we went and had dinner with, just need to let you know, they are the same age as me. They became grandparents, which was quite interesting. But they became grandparents because he was the husband is a good friend of ours, a guy called Ian. He was a teacher, a guy who came from Afghanistan, came to the school. I think he was about 11 or 12. He'd seen his parents killed by the Taliban out in Afghanistan, came into the UK in a truck, was smuggled in. He came to this school where this guy was teaching. He was there for a while. Then the social services said, okay, you've got to move on to another school. And he was just being moved around from pillar to post. And then he said, this friend of mine said, no, that's not good. He can't just keep moving around. We will take him in. He can stay at our house. So they took him and stayed in his house. A few years down the line, they adopted this boy, Ali. It's an amazing story, isn't it? It's a really good story. Ali then subsequently got married. How old is he?
23.
He's 23. He then got married to another girl from Pakistan. They just had a baby yesterday. The family, this new nuclear family, they were quick to start a family because he lost his family. And he said, you have been an angel to us. You and your family, you just beat angels. He came from a Muslim background, and he saw Christianity in real life. And now we got all the photos of this little Ali's baby. You know,
Aria.
What's his name? Aria.
Aria.
But they were, what they said is, no, you have been like an angel to your family has been an angel to us. And do you know what? Sometimes I wish I did my relationship with God my own, but it doesn't work like that. That you answer my prayers. And together we do something that is far greater than we could ever do on our own. The last one is this. Sometimes if you're going to do what God has called you to do, you have to count the cost. For Eleazar, it was very real. Verse 53 says this, and the servant brought out jewelry of silver and gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. What is going to be the cost for you in 2019 so that you can look back this time next year and say, do you know what? I lived a focused life in 2019. What will it might cost you financially. It might cost you in training. It might cost you in some of the things that are really good, but you decide not to do because you're going for something that is even better and greater. I'm praying that 2019 will be a year of breakthrough for us. And I'm praying that it won't come because God just miraculously does something. I am praying for that, to be honest. You want that breakthrough. But I'm praying that breakthrough comes because every single one of us hears what God is saying to us. That I hear with real clarity what I have to give my effort and attention to. And the other things I let go. But every single one of us, we are focused on what God has called us to do. And we pray that God's power comes into our lives. Can I just ask you to stand? Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray that this week you would help us to work through some of these points. I want to pray for a few moments on our own to go through a worksheet that we might be clear on what it is that you've called us to do. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to achieve the goals that you have put ahead of us. We want to pray for the transformation of our communities. We pray that your kingdom would come powerfully through us. So we ask, come fill us. Come fill us afresh as we start 2019 together. It'd be great if the band could come up and we will sing as we finish. And at 15:15, if you could go and get your children, if they're in their groups, just go. I'm sorry it's cold, by the way. Don't know what's happened to the heating. Jules isn't cold, that's good. Just as we finish. I feel God would say to us, he wants to put a, we all right? That's right. God wants to put an entrepreneurial spirit amongst us. An entrepreneurial heart to see what could be, not what is at the moment. God wants to put an entrepreneurial spirit to dream of what we would like the world to be like, and the faith to take the first step to see it become reality. And we say, come fill us afresh, O Lord. Holy Spirit, as we worship you, come fill us with power from on high, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.